and go to the New Testament book of 1 John. 1 John is right there in the back of your New Testament. It's right before 2 John. So if you'll find that, we'll be in 1 John chapter number 1 today. How many of you love that song right there? Amen, amen. I appreciate Brother Jimmy coming and singing that for us. Every time Jimmy sings, I'm so excited because he's going to put his whole heart into it. And I think that if you're going to serve the Lord, you ought to put your whole heart into it. Amen? Amen. So I'm thankful for that this morning. So I appreciate that song, and I appreciate all the songs this morning. I'm thankful the Lord's here with us today, and I pray that this would minister to our hearts today. Now, once you find 1 John chapter number 1, I do want you to look up here just for a second before we read this morning. You know, when I was growing up, my grandparents lived about 4 or 5 houses up from me, so it was awesome growing up. I used to go up there, and if you have grandparents, you know that they'll pretty much give you anything that you want. You don't even have to ask, and they'll just give you. But anyway, grandparents are awesome. But I remember going there as a kid, and you see on the kitchen counter, you see these orange and blue boxes, and they have the letters CMTWTFS on them. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, and in those, they have your medicine. Anybody else have those? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. And I just remember seeing those, thinking, what in the world are those? You know, they look cool. I kind of want some. And then you find out you don't want some when you get older. But anyway, I remember one time my grandpa was in there and he was taking his medicine. And man, he pulled out a pill that was, I swear, it was that big. Any of y'all got some of those? Yeah. Yeah. And I walked up to him. I said, Papa, how in the world are you going to get that down? He said, well, son, it's hard. He said, but I need it. He said, it's hard to get down, but if I don't, I'm in trouble. And I tell you that today to tell you this. This message today is that. It is one of those pills, man, it's hard to swallow, but we need it. Because I'll be honest with you this morning. I would rather you be mad at me and go to heaven than be happy with me and die and go to hell. So sometimes you have to bring out the truth that man, it's hard to bring out sometimes. And that's my duty to do that this morning. And the pill that's going to be hard to swallow this morning is this. Every person that says they're a Christian will not be in heaven. Every person that says I'm a Christian is not a Christian. That is a hard pill to swallow. But the Bible teaches it, and it's something that we need. So this morning I want to teach on this topic, the topic of counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 is one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now I want you to go down to chapter 2, verse 4. He that says, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Father, I pray this morning that as we try our best to take this word and to understand what You're saying to us, God, I pray that You would give us understanding. Not only would we consider what You say, but God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would help us to understand, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom, and to open our eyes to the truth this morning. So God, I pray that we would search our hearts, that we would look at our own hearts, and to see the truth this morning. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. That word counterfeit is something that's familiar probably to all of us. If you were to go to the grocery store and hand the grocery store clerk a $100 bill, she's going to do one of two things. She's going to take that $100 bill and hold it up to the light, or she's going to take her little highlighter and mark on that $100 bill. And the reason she does that is she wants to see if that $100 bill is real or fake. That's why they do that. Whether it's a real or it's a counterfeit. Those of you that attend football games on Saturday or Sunday, college, NFL, whatever, you'll find that standing all around the stadium are people called scalpers. And scalpers, so oftentimes, man, they have some good tickets. But you know what they'll find? They're counterfeit tickets. And you know what the scary thing about counterfeit tickets are? I am here to tell you from firsthand experience, they look exactly like the real ticket. And yet, when you get to the gate with that ticket, they're going to say, "You can't get in, sir. That is a counterfeit ticket." The scary thing about something being counterfeit is this. It looks exactly, and I mean exactly, like the real thing. And I tell you that to tell you this. What God does is real. It is true. It is not fake. That is God. But did you know for every real thing God has, Satan has a counterfeit? You see this Bible right here? This is God's Bible. Satan has a lot of counterfeits going around. You know the story of creation? God created the whole world in 6 days by His Word. Satan has a counterfeit going around called evolution. God has a son, Jesus Christ. Satan has a counterfeit Christ called the Antichrist. For every real thing, Satan comes up with a counterfeit. And the weird thing is, it almost looks exactly like the real thing. But the thing this morning is God has people who are called Christians. Did you know Satan has people called counterfeit Christians? Counterfeit. Did you know not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian? I believe that as many real Christians as there are in the world, there are just as many false Christians in the world. So what's your basis for that? Matthew chapter number 13. Jesus tells the parable of the wheat and the tares. Wheat are God's children that have been planted by God. Jesus says tares are the devil's children who have been planted by the devil. And what is interesting about the wheat and the tares is the wheat and the tares look exactly alike until they grow up. Until the time of the end, you can't tell the difference between the two. They look exactly alike. Now, I tell you this because Christianity today has become shallow. Especially in our culture and especially in America today, Christianity, I believe, is as shallow as it's ever been. People in third world countries that get converted to Christianity laugh at Christianity in America. They say, "Hold on, your Christianity is you go to a building twice a week, that's it?" They would laugh at that because it's become so shallow. You see, Satan has got so many people fooled today into thinking that Christianity is about what you say and it's about what you do. Can I tell you, church, today? Christianity has nothing to do with what you say and it has nothing to do with what you do. It has to do within your heart. That's what matters today. It does not matter if you come to a building twice a week. It doesn't matter if you say something. What matters is your heart. That's what matters today, is your heart. And can I tell you, that's exactly why John wrote this epistle of 1 John. John is at the end of his life and he's trying to give the church something that will benefit them. And I want you to see the very reason John wrote this, because he tells us. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse number 13. John says, this is the whole reason I wrote these five chapters. Chapter 5, verse 13. Should be a very familiar verse to a lot of us. These things have I written unto you, who? That believe on the name of the Son of God. So John says, I'm not writing to the world here. I'm writing to believers. I'm writing to Christians. Why, John? So that you may know, and I want you to underline that word, know that you have eternal life. John said, the reason I wrote to you is so that you may know, Christian, that you have eternal life. Do you know what that means? That means John wrote this so you do not have to guess whether you're going to heaven when you die. John wrote this so you don't have to say, well, I assume I'm going to heaven when I die. John wrote this so you could know for a 100% fact that when you die, you're going to heaven. Isn't that interesting? There are a lot of denominations, there are a lot of Christians today that say, I just don't know where I'm going until the day I die. What a miserable existence. To go to sleep every night and say, well, I don't know, if I wake up in the morning, I don't know where I'll be. That's miserable. Can I tell you, God wants us to know today whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. And you can know that for a 100% certainty. And John says, this is the whole reason I wrote this. So you may know that you are saved. Now, how can we know we're saved? Boy, what a million-dollar question. How can we know we are saved? I tell you what would be nice. Man, if God would just catch me up to heaven today and say, Justin, here's the book of life. See if you can find your name in it. And I'd say, D, driver, 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 Justin Driver. Hallelujah, I'm in. Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I appreciate it. I'm in. See you when I get there. He ain't going to do that, is he? But you know what's funny? Is even if he doesn't show us the book of life, he says you can still know that you have eternal life. You can still know it without seeing your name in the book. So there's the question. How can we know we are saved? I'm going to use Jesus' method. Jesus always answered a question with another question, didn't he? How do you know you're saved? Here's a question that I want you to answer to yourself. How do you know you're saved? How do you know a woman is pregnant? When you see a woman walking around the grocery store that you've never met before, how can you look at her and say she's pregnant? Let me answer it for you. Because what is on the inside is showing on the outside. I said, you know she's pregnant because what is on the inside is showing on the outside. You want to know you're a Christian? John says if Jesus is on the inside, He's going to show on the outside. He is going to show on the outside. And man, that's what John, this is his whole summary in this letter. If Jesus lives on the inside, you will know it. You will know it by the effect that He has on the outside. Can I tell you, that's not just John's teaching. Listen to what Jesus taught. You've heard it. Matthew 7. A good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree brings forth bad fruit. He says if it is a bad tree, it's going to be bad on the outside. But if it is a good tree on the inside, it is going to be good on the outside. What Jesus is teaching is what is on the inside will eventually show on the outside. Now I want you to understand this with me this morning. Jesus and John are not teaching that you have to do something to be saved. They're not saying that. That would be a works salvation. They're not teaching you have to do something to be saved. But you know what they're teaching? If you're saved, you'll do something. You don't have to do something to be saved. But if you're saved, you'll do something. Works don't save you. But my soul, when you're saved, you're going to want to do some good things for God. That's what they're teaching. And I tell you that because of this. The main problem in North Carolina, in Dallas, in Hardin, in Southeast United States of America is this. Everybody and their mama is saved. Amen. That's the problem. Everybody and their mama is saved. Y'all like the mama part, do you? You say, well, everybody, yeah. You want to know why? Because they grew up in church. You want to know why? Because, man, they got baptized one time. Why? Because their daddy was a deacon and their mama was a Sunday school teacher. And, man, because of that, man, I'm good with God. Can I tell you, none of those things make you good with God. The only thing that makes you right with God is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. There is none, one work, 100 works, 1,000, 10,000 works that can make you right with God. The only thing that makes you right with God is to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. But there's the question. How do I know I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question that we're asking this morning. How do I know I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question that is literally hanging over our head this morning. And John says, well, let me tell you. You can know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look back at chapter 1, the verses that we read. And if you have a pen, you can underline this because he makes it very clear. Verse 6 starts out with, if we say, if we, notice that. Verse 7, but if we. Verse 8, if we say. Verse 9, if we. Verse 10, if we say. So every time he's saying, if we say, if we do, if this, if that, then this. It's an if-then statement. All right? So John says in verse 6, 8, and 10, if we say with our mouth that we know Him, and yet we do this, he said we're lying. Verse 6, you'll find the word lie. Verse 8, you'll find the word deceive yourself. That means lie to yourself. Verse 10, you'll find the word liar. Now, John's in his old age. He don't care. A lot of people, they get in their old age, they're just going to say whatever they want to say. It don't matter. That's John. John's old here. He's saying, listen, I'm to the point now where I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to tell the truth. And he calls a lot of people a liar here. If we say we have a relationship with Him, that's what he's saying, and yet we do this, we have something called counterfeit Christianity. And what this message today, it's a hard thing to take in, but it's something that we have to do. Because let me tell you something. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Forever ain't anything to play around with. Eternal life is not something to joke at. It is something that you better be 100% real about. And today what I'm asking you to do and what John is asking you to do is to put the x-ray machine on your heart and look at your own heart and see what it's about. John says, if we say we know Christ, verse 6, and yet walk in darkness, we lie. If we say with our mouth we know God, and yet with our feet we walk in darkness, John says, you're lying. You don't know God. So the question is, what does it mean to walk in darkness? To walk in darkness means you are walking the course of the world. To walk in darkness means you're following the prince of darkness, Satan. To walk in darkness means your life looks no different than an unsaved person's life. And to walk in darkness and yet say, I'm a Christian, is a lie. That's rough, isn't it? Now listen to what John is not saying here. John is not saying when you and I sin tomorrow, it's because we're not saved. Do you hear that? I said when you and I, when we sin tomorrow. Yeah. When? Because let me tell you something. Whether you're a Christian here today or a non-Christian today, go ahead and count on it. You're going to sin tomorrow. Whether it's with your mind, your eyes, your mouth, your feet, or your heart, you are going to sin tomorrow. And go ahead and say today. Because you know, to walk in darkness does not mean when you sin it's because you're unsaved. Because by the way, the Bible says all of us have walked in darkness before. Amen. All of us have walked in darkness before. So this is not saying if we sin, it's because we're unsaved. This is also not saying that you can't be backslidden as a Christian. Let me tell you, Justin, and nearly everybody in here knows what it means to walk away from the Lord for a little bit. But let me tell you what backslidden means. Backslidden either means you're one step away from the Lord or you're 10,000 steps away from the Lord. So we have all walked away at some point in our life, haven't we? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. That's what the Bible teaches. So the Bible is not saying to walk in darkness, man, that doesn't mean you're sinless. To walk in darkness, neither does it mean that you've never wandered over to the dark. I want you to listen to this. To walk in darkness means this. Your life is characterized by living in sin, walking in sin, breathing in sin, bathing in sin, and absolutely loving your sin. Now listen, without any regret or remorse about it. That's what it means to walk in darkness. That your life from sun up to sundown is characterized by sin, and you don't even have one deal of regret about doing it either. That's what it means to walk in darkness. And John says, when that person says, I'm a Christian, no. That is a lie. It's a lie. Wow. By the way, that's not just John's opinion. This is the Word of God. That is God saying, that's a lie. Now listen to me. One of the greatest ways, Brother Johnny, we know that we have a relationship with Christ is because the Holy Spirit lives in us. You want to know whether you're a Christian or not? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? That's how you can tell. And let me say this. There is one thing the Holy Spirit will never do. When you sin, He'll never keep His mouth shut about it. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but when I mess up, the Holy Spirit's the first one to pop up and say, hey boy, what was that about? You want to know whether you're in Christ or not? Man, if you can sin and not have any regret, remorse, or any bad feelings about it, John says you're lying. You're lying. But one of the greatest ways we know is when we mess up, and my soul, do we mess up? The Holy Spirit comes up and says, hey, you know you just messed up. You need to get it right. Because listen to this. A true Christian is not a person who never sins. A true Christian is one in whom when he does sin, he's not only convicted of it, John says he confesses it. So a true Christian is not one that's perfect, but he is one who is imperfect, but yet when he realizes he's imperfect, he realizes it. And he confesses it. To God, John says, if you say with your mouth you're a Christian and walk in darkness, man, you're lying. You're lying. The next point. John says in verse number 8, counterfeit Christians not only walk in darkness, they do not confess their sin. Verse 8 is pretty interesting. If we say, there it is again, we have no sin. Oh, that's bold. We deceive ourselves. In other words, you know what deceiving yourselves mean? You're lying to yourself. If we say we have no sin, you are lying to yourselves. And the truth is not in us. But verse 10 is way worse. If we say we have not sinned, we're not only lying to ourselves, we're calling God a liar. There was apparently a group going around in John's day who said, excuse me, hey, now that we're Christians, man, we're perfect. Now that we're Christians, we don't sin anymore. Have you ever met somebody who said, man, I'm a Christian, I don't hardly sin ever? Let me tell you something. That person is not only lying to you, he's lying to himself. I'm a Christian and I don't hardly ever sin. He's lying to you, and then he's lying to his own heart. Because you see, a true Christian is one more than anybody on the face of the planet who realizes he's a sinner. The Christian is one who more than anybody realizes he's sinned. Jonathan Edwards lived in the 1700s, pastored Northampton in Massachusetts. He was basically the founder of the Great Awakening in America. You know what he said? He said a quote that I'll never forget. He said, if God were to count the sins of my heart, my bed would be in hell tonight. In other words, if God were to look at the sins that are in my heart, I would be in hell tonight. Thank God, once we're under the blood, He doesn't look at those sins. The Apostle Paul, arguably the greatest Christian to walk the face of the planet. You know what he said? He said, I am. Not I used to be. I am. The chief of sinners. Boy, you talk about being a chief of something? You don't want to be the chief of sinners, do you? But the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the globe said, that's me. I'm at the top. Because a true Christian is one who realizes more than anything, he's a sinner. She's a sinner. And when they realize they've sinned, you know what they do? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now let me bring this out. They might shut me off over there, but that's okay. Did you know these verses right here point to the very reason that there is no such thing as a gay Christian? A lot of you just looked up. There is no such thing as a gay Christian. You say, why is that? Because homosexuals say this. They say there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And yet when you open up the Bible, God says from cover to cover, that's wrong what you're doing. Okay? So when God says it's wrong, and they say, no, I can do it and be a follower of Christ at the same time, do you know what they just said? God, you're lying. You want to talk about bold? Calling God a liar about He said this is wrong and you said, no, it's not. It's right. You're calling God a liar. That is the problem with being gay. The problem is not a gay person can't be saved. If you come to Christ, you can be saved. The problem is you just don't say what you're doing is wrong. That's the problem. And that goes for anything. Not just that. That goes for anything. When you don't say, God, I'm wrong, that's the first step to being saved, isn't it? I'm a sinner, God. I need You. And just in case you think I'm picking on them, let's go to the opposite side of the spectrum. The Pharisees. You want to talk about opposite? Oh, yeah. The Pharisees are way over here. Yet you know what? They did the exact same thing. What did they do? They didn't confess that they were wrong. You see, they were so religious that they said, man, there's nothing wrong with us. And Jesus said, hold on. I have not come to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know what that verse says? That verse says, if you think you're perfect, I can't do anything for you. Jesus said, you think there's nothing wrong with you? You don't need me. He said, I'm not come for those people. I'm come for the people who realize they're wrong and they need somebody to save them. He said, that's why I've come. Because Jesus taught, if you cover your sin, guess what? You can't be forgiven. But He taught, if you confess your sins, man, you can be forgiven. Isn't that interesting? Because as a kid growing up, man, if you got to stay at home by yourself sometimes, your parents left, summer, your mom was a teacher, whatever. Let's say you broke her favorite lamp. The last thing you want to do when they come home is say, hey, Mom, I got something to tell you. I broke something. So what you going to do? You're going to try to put back together that lamp with some super glue and just say, you know, even though she's going to pass by it, maybe she just won't notice. The last thing I'm going to do is admit to her what I did. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to get mad. And I don't want them to get mad. But you know what? Sometimes we take that into our relationship with God. We say, if I tell God I did something wrong, it's going to push Him away. If I tell God that I'm wrong, He's going to get mad and it's going to push Him away. Let me give you some good news this morning. Confessing your sins to God does not push Him away. It draws Him closer. Yeah, I like that. Confessing your sins to God does not push Him away. It actually draws Him closer. Because you see, what sin is, it is a hindrance to our relationship with God. He can't come near to us. We can't come near to Him. But when we say, God, I confess that, get that out of the way, we're able to draw nigh to Him. Wow. So covering up your sin only hinders. Confessing your sin draws Him closer. Isn't that amazing? If we, verse 9, if we would just confess our sin, He's not going to get mad. He's not going to get angry and push you away. He's going to say, come on, I've got forgiveness for you. I've got forgiveness. But a person who says, not me, I hadn't sinned. I hadn't messed up. Jesus says, well, you can't be forgiven then. Unless you admit that you're a sinner, you can't be forgiven. So a person who has counterfeit Christianity, he's a person who walks in darkness without any remorse or regret. He's a person who doesn't admit that he's wrong. But let me give you the third one. He is also a person who doesn't obey His commands. That's not me, that's the Bible. Chapter 2, verse 4. He that says, look at there it is again. I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a, say it with me, he that says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. I'll be honest with you, Johnny, that's tough. Because you know, on Wednesday nights, what we've been talking about, and I've made it, I mean, crystal clear every single week. A person is not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. A person is saved by putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're trusting in your works, in your thou shalt nots and thou shalt to get you to heaven, stop. That can't save you. Only Christ can save you. And yet here's John. He says, man, if you're saying you know Jesus and yet you keep not His commandments, you're lying. You know what John's saying? John's not saying you must keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. John is saying if you're saved, you'll keep God's Word. That's what he's saying. Get this. Faith in Christ and obedience to Christ are in the same hand. If you've put your faith in Christ, you will be obedient to Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14, keep my commandments. If we love Him, we'll obey Him. And let me tell you what this is not saying. That you must keep His commandments 100% of the time, 100% of your life. Because guess what? There ain't a one of us saved if that's the truth. John is not saying if you disobey God tomorrow, you're lying. John is saying, if you put your faith in Christ, you will have the desire to obey Him. And you're not going to all the time. Because he said you're going to have to confess your sins sometimes. But he did say the same thing as Jesus. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. Because obedience is one of the top evidences that you and I are saved. Here it is. You say, well, what are His commandments? 1 John chapter 4, verse 23. Excuse me. Was that right? 3:23. This is His commandment. A lot of you are sad about 2 seconds ago. I'm about to lift you up. This is His commandment. Here's what we're supposed to keep now. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Did you know that was a commandment by God? God said, believe on My Son. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Now, did you know this? If you don't keep that commandment, you can't be saved. If you don't keep the commandment that says, believe on My Son, Jesus Christ, it is impossible for you to be saved. Do you know that? Impossible. Unless you obey that one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the next one's interesting. This is His commandment that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Listen to this verse. John 13. By this shall all men know you are My disciples when you fight with each other. By this shall all men know you are My disciples when you can't stand each other. By this shall all men know that you're My disciples when you argue over which color the pew should be. By this shall all men know that you're My disciples if you love one another. Amen. He said, by this the world is going to know that you're Mine when you love each other. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some times where I don't do that very well. Go ahead and shake your head to that one for you too. One of the greatest evidences you are saved is that you love one another. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. He produces love in you. To love one another. One another. Believers, brothers, sisters. To love one another. That's His commandments. That's the two main ones. As a matter of fact, that's the summary of the Ten Commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what Jesus said. Love God, love your neighbor, and you'll keep the Ten Commandments. John is not saying here, man, you sin tomorrow, it's because you're unsaved. But John is saying here, he said when you're saved, if He's on the inside, there's going to be something on the outside. There's going to be something on the outside that changes either this much or this much about your life. Because the problem today is people may be professing Christ, but they're not possessing Christ. And I would rather have Christ living in me than to just say Him with a bunch of words. Because unless He lives in you, doesn't matter. John says you can know you are saved. And I encourage you today to go home in this week and read 1 John. Because it's impossible for me to give you everything in 30, 40 minutes of what John was saying. But as Jimmy said, the most important thing is we need to make sure we're right with Christ. Because any day now, He's coming back. And the most important thing is not how nice our clothes are, how big our house is, what kind of car we drive. The most important thing is your heart right with the Lord Jesus Christ? And He's asking us to put that x-ray up and, man, swallow the pill and ask yourself, am I right with Christ? Musicians, you can come. If you would, all stand to your feet this morning. Father, we come to You this morning, God, and we want to just thank You for this Word. And God, so often Your Word is a sharp, two-edged sword. Sometimes it's hard to take in, but God, we thank You for the truth. That the truth isn't there to hurt us, the truth is there to help us. So God, I just pray today that each and every one of us, right here and right now, as we examine ourselves, God, we thank You for the certainty, for the assurance of eternal salvation. That God, today we don't have to guess. It's not a guessing game. It's something that we know, that the Lord Jesus lives on the inside of our heart. And God, we thank You for that certainty and that assurance that You have given to us. But Lord, if there's anybody here today, Lord, that knows they do not know You, I pray they'll come to know You. And Lord, we thank You that although we fail and we sin and we mess up every single day, the Bible says You are faithful and You are just to forgive us our sins. And our salvation isn't a daily basis thing that changes. Our salvation is firm. It is settled forever through the cross of Christ. And we thank You for that this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.